CliffCentral.com.
Okay, right, let's go. Let's start this thing up. Come on. It's like cranking up the engine after a like a 2 day period of no use in the cold. Crank that shit up. Let's go. It is Monday morning. It's the 24th of May, just around the corner from the dead center of the year. You know, the winter solstice when it's supposed to be the coldest. Definitely cold this morning, though. Woke up not enjoying that. So I hope you're off to a good start this week and this morning. It's interesting. Like, I've got some friends who also wake up pretty early all across the world. And then, you know, you get these kind of messages at 3 in the morning, at 6 in the morning or whatever. Hey, you know, whatever. How you doing? Like, for God's sake. I know it's terrible to sleep with your phone next to you on the bedside table. But where else is it going to go? It's my alarm. So I understand it's not a good idea to sleep with a phone next to you. And I understand that that light is the last thing you want to do as the last thing you do before you go to sleep. Because it's really bad for you. Ah, there's Sia Sangwini. Hello, Sia.
Yay.
And we will be joined momentarily by Leanne Moll, who's probably, she's also just waking up. Yeah, good morning. How's it, Sia? But where else are you going to put your phone? I mean, I can't charge it in another room. Oh, we're not live on YouTube yet. Let me just do this. Oh, there we go.
And now we are.
Sure, thank God. All right. Anyway, welcome, everybody. Hope you're off to a good start today. And let's get cracking, as Mondays are the worst. Once you've got Monday behind you, you're good. How was your weekend, Sia? What did you do?
I was kind of sort of all over the place this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
With my weekend, I had some cousins over. I went out on Saturday, and I kind of had a yucky experience.
What happened?
I don't know, like, it just met people I didn't want to see.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I had a revolting old man hit on my friends, and it was just yucky. Just, ugh.
A revolting old man. Ugh.
A revolting old man who, on top of all of it, was using a handkerchief.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, like, before they invented tissues, sure, it was probably the right thing to have. Now, I mean, there is no reason you want to carry some dirty old snot cloth in your pocket with you wherever you go. It's just gross, right? So
the fact that you called it a snot cloth encapsulated all.
So tell me about this friend of yours and how this old man hit on him. That's hilarious.
No, well, it's a her. And
right. Okay, know, sorry.
Ugh. We were having like a late lunch. And already we were making fun of him, going, who is he?
Ugh.
Why is he alone? And he was really, really, really using the handkerchief like he was all alone. And even that, like, I feel like there are levels to use a handkerchief.
Yeah.
So, for example, you can blow into it and call it a day. But he was blowing into it and then also using it to dig up into his nose.
Leanne, you've just come in.
And he was using it over and over and over again.
Ugh.
And then here's the kicker as well. He was using it on his nose.
Yeah.
And then also between bites of his meal, he was using it to wipe his mouth. And
as
then
a
I
napkin.
Thought,
but why was he sitting at your table? I mean, like how was he there
he
with
wasn't
you?
Sitting at our table, but he just had that confidence of thinking, oh, yeah. So should I think he was at least in his late 50s. And thought, yeah, I could bother this table
right.
And I could shoot my shot.
So Leanne, just to bring you in on this, like, Sia had a revolting old man hitting on one of his friends when he was out this weekend. And this guy, he's just described the whole handkerchief thing, but he sounds like a real creep. You know, I feel sorry for girls, hey, and obviously for gay guys because they get the same thing. But like, that old men just do not know when they're not attractive anymore, and they don't know when they are like gross and revolting. Because in their heads, they think, You know, I still got it.
No. That just doesn't work. And I also thought, like, are there no limits to this handkerchief? Like, will you use it for anything?
So
It's the nose, it's the mouth. I'm
Well,
pretty sure he'll.
the problem for me is that, and I found this with my dad who uses handkerchiefs.
Yeah.
And the thing for me is that it goes into the washing machine with everything else. I'm not happy with that, you know?
Yeah, but come on. I mean, if you start going into the analysis of what goes into a washing machine, I mean, people's dirty old underwear goes in. Where do you draw the line? I mean, it's like, you
I
know.
actually feel like this is a conversation, a separate whole conversation
And maybe
about
not the
what
best thing
does
to
the
maybe not the
machine,
best thing to wake
where
up
does this
to.
go as well?
Maybe you don't
Yeah,
need to.
exactly.
Maybe you don't need to hear this conversation first thing in the morning. So maybe we save this for another time. I mean, it's really disgusting. But by the way, I looked through my cupboard this weekend because I actually went out with some friends for supper on Saturday night, and I was like, I really don't. And I've said this before on the show. I haven't bought clothes in such a long time. I need to go out and do some winter shopping. Like I have not enough winter clothes to be able to look presentable. I need to, no, seriously, I need to go and spend some money and like buy one or two nice, tops for winter and that sort of shit. Because I suddenly realized like I what I've got here is it's okay, but like some of the stuff. You're starting to look a bit threadbare. Anyway.
I'm in the exact same position. I've
No.
got about three outfits that are okay, and I just rotate them.
Right.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Get a couple of hoodies, and we will forgive you for that.
I'm dead keen this year on going and buying those really clunky looking slippers with the lamb's wool stuff in the inside and then.
Yeah, I wear those.
You know those things, those so I don't I had one I had a pair of them, oh God, 4 years, 5 years ago, and then I was suddenly looking for them over the weekend because I was like, I'm not gonna I'm wandering around the house, I'm doing very little, especially yesterday, like I want to wear those, no one's gonna see me, they're revolting looking things, but I'm gonna wear them, I don't care, and so I'm gonna have to go and buy some of those today.
I alternate
There
between
we go,
those and
those are oh
these
those.
fluffy ones.
Yeah, but those are actually quite those are quite sophisticated. You know the ones I'm talking about. Those,
Yeah, no, I've got them. I can see them here from here.
and they're not expensive. They're just like they're cheap. They look horrendous, but they feel so nice. Oh, it's the best.
My brother and I wear them, and mine last for about, because you can pop them in the washing machine as well.
Yes.
Speaking of washing machines, mine lasts for about 3 or 4 years,
Right.
and my brother's last him 1 year. I wear mine more than he does.
Yeah.
He wears, because you wear down the inside through the fluff
Yes,
to like a
correct.
meshy part,
Oh.
and he does that in a year. I don't know how.
Well, I don't think they're designed to last forever. I mean, again, if you, and because I love history, I always think back to like what our ancestors would have done. And I mean, the shoes, if they even had shoes during their history, they did not last a long time and they were not sophisticated things. I mean, even today we think about the way we can work leather. They couldn't do that nearly to the degree that we can now. Mostly it's machines that do it now. But I just want to go back to the revolting old man for a second, because Venetia is pretty much echoing the sentiment here. She says, I was in high school and my dad's colleague. Oh, bless you, Leanne. My
Oh, bless
dad's
you.
colleague used to hit on me many times. So gross. You see?
Oh, no.
That's what
Let
I'm
me
talking
actually
about.
like set the scene as to what this man was like. Firstly, going on,
All right.
and then he sat alone, and I saw that he had his phone in front of him, and he was playing some sort of a game, like
Oh, no.
like a
Never
Candy
thought.
Crush type thing.
Yeah, one of those Candy Crush Amaze sequence games. So I thought,
Right.
how sad, how absolutely sad.
Well.
And then there was music in the background, was quite, loud. So it was really an environment where you're sitting with the person in front of you and you're just making out what they're saying. But the music was great and he was dancing so out of tune with Oh, my God. He was, and he was doing like very standard dance moves, like you know, the two clicks into the side. That's every single song. Shame, that is just his go-to, which was at least a go-to in the late 80s and could maybe take you to the early 90s. And the fact that he still thought with his handkerchief as well, that I see that gorgeous girl and I could stand a chance with her, boggles my mind.
All right, well, what do you want old men like that to do? Because clearly he thinks he's still got some game.
Go home, mind your own business, all sir.
Right, but yes, I agree. I mean, I feel that way about a lot of people, right? But you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to chase him home. So where is he meant to go? Like, where does he find people who are age appropriate for him? Like, that's what I want to know.
Well, not my I know problem. What he could do.
You want to play bowls?
There's a bar in my area where there is absolutely no judgment. You can go there, and if you don't feel like talking to anyone, it's fine. You can sit there and play Candy Crush if you want.
Okay.
Are you talking about the Jolly Roger?
No.
It's
a very...
Leanne, do you still have that... You used to have a booth at the Jolly Roger with a brass plate with your name on it, right?
Yes.
Didn't they?
My drink would be ready when I arrived.
Yeah, they had like a...
Legitimately...
You're the only person...
Want to work towards that.
In the history of Johannesburg...
I want to make sure that happens.
Leanne is the only person in the whole history of Johannesburg that has had a reserve seat at a bar with her name on a brass plaque. I mean, it's just something else.
Oh, gosh. So, yeah, maybe I'll get one at this new bar.
Yeah. So tell me about this place.
You can sit at the bar... There's brilliant music playing. At any point, you can say, hey, won't you play so-and-so? The barman's great. He either talks to you if you want to be spoken to or not. No one bothers you. If you just want to sit there and scroll through your phone, you're welcome to do it. No one judges you. That's the sort of place he should be at. Oh, and also, it's everyone of every age.
But I have to be honest, I judge people who go out alone. If that makes me judgmental,
that's what I'm saying.
People who go out alone. You know, I think, and also to a bar or to a restaurant alone, it's one thing to go out and...
Sorry, I just saw Amir's comment. Amir says, euthanize them.
That's what you have to do.
If you guys haven't lived in a small town, though, where there's a kroeg or a bar.
No.
Where you just... You don't have to be with anyone. You just walk in and sit down and have a beer, and maybe you'll strike up a conversation. No problem.
I didn't get it.
Okay, so something happened to me. On Saturday, I was out with a bunch of friends. We had supper on Saturday night, and then there was someone else's birthday, so we went to that for a few minutes, and then we all left the birthday after, you know, a certain number of drinks, and we went back to the place that we were at before because it was nicer there. And there was a woman who was following me around through the bar, right? Because it's like a bar. I think she was probably very drunk, but she was kind of, you know, when someone looks at you like sort of like they're not really they're not all there, you know. She'd had a rough weekend already by the time, and then probably because I don't know, there's still a lot of people who recognize me from TV or whatever, so she was probably I don't know if she was alone, but she wasn't revolting. She was just weird.
She also look like she had a very rough life, Gareth?
I think she was probably lonely. I mean, that's the overwhelming impact I got, right? So,
goodbye.
I'm
not a charity case.
No, but I'm always friendly with people like that, because why the hell do you need to make an enemy where you can make a friend? And I didn't want to spend the night talking to her, and I didn't, thank God. Mm. But I certainly was polite to her. Hi, how do you do? Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I said to my friend, yo, there's this woman, she's following me around here. So anyway, I forgot about that I'd told this mate of mine. So we're busy. I was talking to some other girl who was quite large, but she was very friendly, and she was yakking away, and she was into...
large, fat, friendly.
Yes, and she was amusing.
As if the two can't coexist.
So this girl who I'm talking to, who's not bothering me at all, because we're having quite a funny conversation, and she's, you know, she's really, she's amusing. So my friend comes up behind her and he like gestures, is this the one that is bothering you, is following you around? So
oh,
like,
yeah.
No, 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 this one's fine. He's going to have her removed.
Yeah, that when they kind of point and they do the cutting neck sign.
Yeah, it was so funny. I mean, we had a lot of fun and it was good to get out and see how people again are just back to normal. They don't give a shit. I know there are lots of people who are still stuck indoors and they don't leave their houses. And maybe according to Amir, those people should stay in their houses and be euthanized. But if you have been out at all in the last couple of weeks, I think it's starting to feel good. It's starting to feel normal, even though it's winter. And it was fucking cold on Saturday. I mean, I do not enjoy being cold. I've said this a million times. Give me the heat where it's sweltering. I can handle that any day of the week. But I do not like – and, you know, there was this one place we were at, the place in between with a birthday where they had fires, like open fires and braziers. You know, like these big fires to keep everybody warm. A problem, though, with those is you end up smelling of smoke and your clothes end up smelling of smoke. And I don't like that smell because then – I sound like such a grumpy, you know, grizzly old fuck. But listen, when I get home after a night in – front of fires or whatever, or where the fires are on, then I have to shower before I can get into bed, because otherwise your whole bed smells like that too. And I'm not going to do that. I have to change sheets, and you know, it's a pain.
No, God bless all of the people who are going out and they're enjoying it again right now.
Yes,
but as soon as you know, after that experience, old freaky man aside, I thought I should be at home. I really should be at home.
Did you have instant regret?
Absolutely. And then I got back home and I thought,
yeah, it's nice.
This feels delightful.
It's so nice. Yeah, it's the, you know, it is the absolute best thing. And I felt like this when I was 20, and I think I'll feel like this when I'm 70. The best thing is to like get into your own bed and have a nice fat sleep. That's what weekends are all about for me. It's the nicest thing ever. Just wanted to point out, this is obviously, you know, the team are constantly giving me shit about this. So here's cliffcentral.com. Let's get to 100 likes. Now, I can't stand this stuff, but Leanne, just do our announcement,
Karen,
please.
That's not how we should sound. I know. We should not just sound please, like just do this Lucy in, Hirsch being annoying.
Get these people off my back, please. Just like and fucking subscribe to this channel so I can get on with the show.
Hi, welcome back to my channel.
Thank you.
Like and subscribe and hit the alarm button so that you're notified of any future content.
Gareth, you know what? You will not be complaining when you get a certain plug from YouTube. Ugh. And then when we figure out that we're getting X amount because of the views.
Pugh. I don't care. I'm the only guy in the whole world.
You'll care about the money more than you'll care about the plug.
No, I don't care. All right, we've got to talk about some of the things that are happening in the world, and Leanne has stories about 10 big companies that went bankrupt due to COVID, and Sia has stories about 9 billionaires who have been created by vaccine development. So,
oh my gosh,
you got the contrast.
And really, this is just vaccine as opposed to people. Of course, I think there are tons more who've made money from lockdown as a whole, whatever that may be. Maybe I don't know what the statistics are for something like Zoom or people who have made money from food delivery services at home or whatever the case is. But just from the vaccine alone, I was actually surprised to hear about this.
Yeah. I'm interested in who those people are, because the contrast between, you know, those people who've become billionaires in 2020 and those people who've actually lost everything in 2020 is such an enormous chasm. But
it was such a leveler in so many ways.
Not in a good way. I don't want to see anyone lose money. You know, even the people who flaunt it and are charmless. I don't want to see anyone lose money. I would prefer everyone on earth to be well better off than they were in the previous year. But that's just unfortunately the way the cookie crumbles. Some people lose and some people gain. But
please don't roll your eyes as I reference him like this.
Go on.
But from this weekend, I actually, Leanne, you speak about it being a great leveler, and I don't agree with that anymore. Prince Harry, of all people, said something, and I thought, oh, good point.
Yeah.
He said, this whole weird situation of a year and a half and whatnot hasn't been a level up, but has made all of us go through the same thing in different experiences. And quite honestly, and he also said this, the people who have suffered greatly, and the people who've gained have gained greatly, even before this. By the way, he said this in his new Apple TV Plus series.
I can't say that's the most... Well,
no, that is about as non-profound as anything I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Oh, come on, guys.
No.
It's really good. Four-year-old couldn't say that.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think my nephew probably pointed that out to me about 6 weeks ago, and he's about five. So, yeah. Okay.
I knew I shouldn't mention it. I actually...
But if it came from anyone, if one of your friends said that to you this weekend, you wouldn't have thought it was a particularly remarkable thing. It's only noteworthy because it comes from Prince Harry. Ugh. I mean, here, Mandla, I think, makes a lot more sense. Mandla's comment is much more profound. We were all in the same storm, but in different boats. See?
Yeah, that's what Prince Harry said.
Yes, but he didn't say it as beautifully as Mandla did. Sorry.
You know what? I paraphrased him incorrectly then. That was a fabulous series.
Mandla said it better. So you actually watched that trash. You wasted some of your weekend. Looking at that shit.
I had to absolutely watch it because it's part of the cult that I'm in. It is the series that is co-produced by Prince Harry and Oprah. How could I not?
Please, can we? I mean, I'm absolutely sure less people give a shit about Harry and Meghan than any other group in the world. I mean, like any other couple in the world. It's just so uninteresting. Can I mention Norma Gigaba? Because, you know, we may not have actual, like, proper royals, but we didn't even know who the new king of the AmaZulu was until just a couple of days ago, right?
And whether or not his coronation is going to happen.
Yeah, whether that's going to happen. But we do have extremely rich politicians, and they live these lives where they spend... Did you see that picture that was going around of the bill at Saint, the restaurant?
No.
This is quite something. Let me just try and find it.
Leanne?
Oh, bless you.
So here's a bill that a friend of mine sent me from. This is apparently real. This is the bill for just drinks. $554,360.
There was. There's not a lot of items on it.
No.
You know, it's about 15 items.
Yeah. So there are.
What's the most expensive thing there?
The most expensive thing on this is 39 bottles of Armand Brut. I would assume that's a champagne, 10,000 rand a bottle. They've got some bottles of Veuve Clicquot, about 18 of those. Still waters. There's some other bottles of Armand Gold. I've never heard of that. At 60,000 rand. Sorry, 30,000 rand a bottle. So I don't.
Gareth,
what's
the serial number on that slip?
Are you going to try?
Probably you figure.
Sia's going to try and find the people. But there, I mean, listen. So that's extraordinary.
Is it a man?
I don't know, Sia, but this was on the 30th.
How tall is he?
This bill was on the 30th of April at 11 o'clock at night. 554,000 rand, 360. That's just unbelievable.
But why did you jump from politician to the slip?
Well,
is there some correlation?
No, because the only people I can imagine who would spend that money are tenderpreneurs. And those tenderpreneurs are always in cahoots with politicians. And usually they're taking each other out for drinks to impress each other, because that's how the business works. And Norma Gigaba, the reason I bring this up is because she was saying, what can I do with 3,000 rand? She's like, there's nothing I can do with 3,000 rand at the State Capture Commission. And apparently it got people on social media furious. They were like, this Marie Antoinette of a woman, you know. She's talking about, like, how I can't do anything with 3,000 rand. I can't remember if those were her exact words. But, you know, what a thing to say.
Yeah, it was.
What a thing to say. We've got poor people lining up for 350 rand grant from the government because they're desperate and they'll wait for a day and a half to get that grant. 350 rand. And here's this woman's like, oh, what do I do with 3,000 rand? It's nothing to me.
Mm-hmm. It's nauseating.
Yeah. Let me see if I can redeem myself by quoting and referencing someone.
Not Prince
A friend of
Harry.
mine over this week. Let me see. I'm quoting my friend now
All
because
right.
we, after Nomagigaba testifying on Friday, and then we watched AKA's interview on Saturday evening. So we were on the phone after that. And she said to me, with a lot of these people who are now speaking out and they're talking about something, and we might not understand it now, but all they have is desperation
Yeah.
and trying to manipulate the public.
Sure.
And that is why they speak out. And the penny sort of dropped with me there. Not to say that I feel bad or or want to support Nomagigaba, but thinking about the life that she leads and the context of her life, she's up against someone who has political
Yeah.
connections, who has more money, who can call on people.
Sure.
That is her ex-husband, Malusi Gigaba. And what does she have? All she can have is speaking out, trying to humiliate him,
Yeah.
trying to sway the public against him. So she's going to do that as much as she can to use it against her. And as soon as I thought about that, I also thought, oh, that's why people speak out in general. That's why people have, we sometimes hear of cases of a rape case or maybe like a Me Too something that happened 20 years ago. And you think, why are people speaking out now?
Yeah.
Because that's kind of all they
That
have
is all they have.
against money and a lot of
Sure.
lawyers and people in power. How else can you fight against that? But with money, with speaking out.
Yeah, well, in the case of Malusi Gigaba, I mean, all the porn, the online, the WhatsApp
Well,
porn that he was sending everyone. That's another way to fight him. She just listen, I'm not any more partial to her than I am to him. I think they're both horrible people. And I do feel sorry for her because I think she's brave enough and maybe desperate enough, maybe you're right, Sia, to have no other option but to go after him. And maybe this is her way of getting him back and making herself relevant for a little bit longer and maybe even getting some money. Who knows? Because perhaps there's some way that she sees to making some cash out of all of this, but they've got children together. And I always think, like, if you and your spouse are going to argue and have fights and become very nasty to each other, like, if you've got kids, long term, you're not thinking very cleverly because your kids are not going to care who came off better out of the divorce or who got their own back or who spoke out against who. These are your mum and dad. And for any child to have to hear all of that stuff must be just deeply disconcerting. It must be really tough. And they don't think about that, but the kids will grow up and they'll probably have huge bitterness for both of their parents. And that's just awful. So Corona's boring. Do the alien thing, says, I just love that name. I used to work at a club pre-lockdown where the tenderpreneurs would go. The clientele would purchase ace champagne at 15,000 rand a bottle and literally wash their hands with it. Sure. Well, good. You know what? I didn't have a problem when I saw that bill. I didn't go like, oh, this is disgusting. What outrageous excess. I went, those people are so dumb. They're putting that money that they can claim as theirs, even if it's ill-gotten, whatever. They might be perfectly legit business people who just like to spend, but they're putting it straight back into the economy, which is good. So, that bar, it's creating work for people. I think that's terrific. So at least they are dumb enough to get it straight back into the economy and not hold on to it. That's pretty good. Anyway, got to get to some headlines. Let's do this. We can talk some more about that later on. We'll check out what's going on with all the important things in the world this morning. Find out what's happening in Europe, the Middle East. There's an opening up that's happening in Britain for a change. People seem to
Oh, had a little bit of Dulcolax, did they?
they had yeah they've opened the sluices at both
Yeah,
ends, but they're starting to get back to actually being alive, which is good because people, I've shared a clip from this interesting broadcast that I subscribe to called Talk Radio. Julia Hartley Brewer is the woman's name. She was talking about how she spoke to an author who'd written a book about fear. Now, how governments have used fear during the pandemic to get people to comply and to do what they have to do. It was a really interesting interview. I put it on my Facebook. I'll share the link a little bit later on. But let's look at what's happening closer to home. Joburg Water has apologized and has battled to mitigate in areas that have been affected by a water shortage. So apparently...
Yeah, I'm in that area.
Are you? I was going to ask you if you know anyone who's in one of those areas. So Hurst Hill, yeah. Crosby and Brixton reservoirs are experiencing some difficulties because there is a low inflow of water, which is affecting large parts of the city. Parts of Joburg, including Auckland Park, Northcliffe and Westbury, have had little or no water for over 2 days now. That mm-hmm. is that I spoke about how we didn't have water last week, remember? And for a day, I think it was. It was like, you know, just over 12 hours. And it's that's way worse than not having electricity. Way worse.
Yeah, it is, especially because it comes down to needing to flush your loo. That's the biggest bugbear.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the two biggest things are, you've got to have a big tank of water to do that.
Yeah,
because it literally uses 7 liters per flush.
Right.
And I mean, if you think about it, sometimes you need a flush 3 times in the morning, you know.
Right.
The obviously the showering thing, but you can go to someone's house and do that, which is okay. And the other thing is just washing my hands. It's just annoying that you can't just put them under a running thing.
Yeah,
you can get.
Well, I mean, you know, it's easier to wash your hands with water than sulfuric acid. So yes, I understand. much more. You know, when you use sulfuric acid, it doesn't really make your hands so lovely and white and clean afterwards.
Yeah, perhaps.
Tends to eat the flesh away and make yellow stains everywhere. And hurts. It burns. It burns quite severely. So better water than sulfuric acid. But they've said that they – by the way, they even affected – this water shortage affected Helen Joseph Hospital. And the water utility has said that it has made roaming water tankers available for affected residents. Oh, that's great. I can see Leanne with a bucket standing there going to a water bowser.
It's true. It comes down my road, I promise you. It's quite a crisis. And this happens every couple of months. And it does. Goes on for days and days. And what happens as well is I'm on a hill.
Yeah.
And when the water is replenished, it gets to me last.
Oh, no. So you're at the bottom of the hill.
I'm at the top of the hill.
Oh, right, because gravity doesn't help you.
No. So as it's filling up, the people at the bottom of the hill are going, oh, yay, let's do some washing. And they're taking the water, and then it goes down again. So it never quite gets to the top of the hill.
That's so Oh, my God. All right. So they say they're going to sort this out. They're going to mitigate the low inflow levels and fill up those reservoirs. But apparently it's going to take a long time. I mean, again, this is what happens when we let government be responsible for all of our needs. We've got to make ourselves as self-sufficient as possible. If you want to live happily in South Africa in the 2020s, sorry, that's what you got to do. And the Zuma supporters, all of them, all three of them, are going to gather together and march.
All three of them?
Yeah, Karl Niehaus, Tony Yengeni, and Dudu Zana Zuma are going to get together.
Well, also speak of the more other people who are benefiting financially from him.
Who?
So, yes.
All the wives?
I mean, he's set some people up.
Oh, you mean like all the network of patronage, that stuff? Okay.
Absolutely.
Maybe even those people who were buying those drinks at Saint, they owe Jacob Zuma. You know, maybe they should be marching for him. But anyway, there is a hashtag. It's called Hands Off Msholozi. And all of those people are going to hold a prayer meeting on Tuesday at the Umsunduzi Freedom Park. Then on Wednesday, they'll march back to the park to show their support through song and prayer. The organizers say only 500 people will be allowed at the rally to comply with COVID-19 restrictions. So maybe oversubscribed, you know. 500 people. What a joke. Anyway, I suppose, you know, there are people who, for whatever reason, will pitch up to do this. And speaking of pitching up to do this, Ace Magashule's backers have urged him to apologize. That's an interesting development. 20 women in the ANC who make up the powerful National Working Committee meet tomorrow for the first time since the party suspended Ace Magashule. And they announced a decision on whether or not he would apologize for unilaterally suspending President Cyril Ramaphosa. And he's going to do that, he says, based on what the courts tell him to. The more radical wing of the group supporting Ramaphosa wants the ANC to be decisive on the matter and act against Ace, irrespective of the court application. They argue that his decision to involve the courts does not hold water and that the ANC should not be stunted by the move. Magashule's bombshell...
It doesn't hold what, Gareth?
What?
It doesn't hold water. Water,
yeah.
Sorry, Leanne.
Yeah, it's a shame to talk about water and it makes Leanne very upset. Anyway, so Ace says he doesn't fear expulsion. He's going to wait for the court. But then there are a whole lot of people in the ANC are saying just apologize. And there should be some action against him. And then 12 were killed in a weekend spate of U.S. shootings. A dozen people were killed and 50 injured in shootings across the United States after President Joe Biden last month branded the country's gun violence an epidemic. The spate of shootings included deaths in New Jersey, South Carolina, Georgia, Ohio, and Minnesota. In total, the attacks claimed 12 lives and wounded 49 others. Two people died when when gunfire broke out in a house party in Camden in New Jersey. My God. Hmm. At least 12 people were injured at that one. A house party and someone pulls out a gun.
Yeah.
In South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, to injure 12 people and kill however many others. How many shots did you have to fire?
A guy must have had like an extra magazine of ammo. Anyway, in South Carolina, a 14-year-old girl was killed and 14 people were wounded at a concert. And then in Atlanta, Georgia, they found 3 gunshot victims early on Sunday. After responding to a call about shots being fired, all 3 victims were pronounced dead on the scene. Horrible. Unbelievable. Yeah. That's all happening in the U.S. as we speak. And then one last thing that you need to know about from the BBC. It's about the George Floyd death. Presenter Eddie Nestor on BBC said he has to examine his role as a father and how he should approach conversation with his own children about racism. Together with a group of fathers, his wife Lisa and the UK's largest anti-racism charity took a deep look at how both children and parents could be better equipped in these discussions. Well, can I tell you that this is not just for black parents. This is for all parents. Tell your children to cooperate with the cops rather than fight with them. You can always fight with them in the court later. You can always have them charged with wrongful arrest. You can always have them brought to justice later on. But you can't do that if you're dead. So if you are the parent of a child in the US or the UK, where you think there's an epidemic of racism, and you think that your kid is especially vulnerable because they're black, tell them to cooperate with police. That is the single best piece of advice you could give your child if you want them to live. If you think that police are so hell-bent on being racist that they're going to look for ways to kill your children, then tell them to just cooperate with the police. If there's a problem, you can always sort it out later.
Yeah, it is. I'm just watching all the series and true crime dramas and everything that I watch.
Right.
It is a talk that parents have with their kids in general. Especially if they are black parents, they, you know, it's like, have you had the talk yet?
Yeah.
You know, have you broken the news to your kids that there's a bunch of racist cops out there and how to behave in certain situations? It is a talk that you need to have.
Well,
that's
also a narrative that's been fermented by a certain side of the political agenda. And now they're going to reap the rewards of that. Because if you tell black parents that they need to be especially frightened for their children, and there is no evidence, by the way, that that's particularly true. You know, there were in the whole of 2019, which was the year all of this started, there were only 12 unarmed black men who were killed by police. So is it an epidemic? I don't know, but it's certainly a useful political narrative. It's where Black Lives Matter comes from. So if you want Black Lives to Matter, tell your kids not to resist the police, and they can always have a fight with them afterwards. There are channels to be used. But if you look for police in that moment of fear or of anger, then guess what's going to happen? Guns will be drawn. Things will go wrong. You want to live? Don't argue with the police. I know it sounds like police state stuff, but in that moment, that's probably the most sensible decision any parent could advise their children to take. All right, we've got to move on to something else. It's much more interesting. We're going to be joined by Dr. Hanan Bushkin, who we've had on before, and I know people loved having him on last time. We had lots and lots of people, feedback from everybody, including professional sports people, about the things that he said. He is one of South Africa's foremost behavioral pattern analyzers. He's a renowned psychologist. He's the head of the Anxiety and Trauma Clinic. And we're going to talk to him about some of the issues that are going on around us this week in South Africa. And so first of all, Dr. Hanan, very nice to see you again. And I hope you had a good weekend and you're fully rested. You work very hard, see lots and lots of people. So let's just start off with something that I think Sia and Leanne and I were unpacking last week and this week again. People are starting to get back to normal. The vaccine seems to have given people a feeling of hope. Would you say that that's a positive development for everyone's mental health?
So in my practice, I have seen kind of the hope meter is doing this. People are finding that things are returning back to normal. But I always caution people, you know, because the trick is not to wait for something to happen in order to get back to normal. Right. The trick is to adjust while this whole dance is going on. You know, I always tell people that we are socialized to believe that happiness is coming when you reach a certain point. Mm-hmm. So when I finish school, I'm going to find my happiness. And then the universe goes, no, your first degree. And then you get to your first degree and the universe goes, no, not just yet, your second degree. And you get to your second degree and the universe goes, okay, happiness when you get a job. And then it's on and so forth. And you get to age 65 and you open up this box called happiness and it's empty. And the trick is not to wait till you get this big, awesome prize, but rather to dance while the music is playing. And I say that for a reason, because when we listen to a piece of music, we don't wait to enjoy it once the piece ends. We dance while the song is playing. And I always say to people, the vaccine is wonderful. It gives people a great sense of hope. Mm. But dance while the song is playing. And sometimes the song that is playing is awesome, and sometimes it's not awesome, but we dance and make the most of it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, for many people to get back to life as we knew it once before, and you know, there are people who say, for example, we'll never get back to exactly the way that we were. I don't think that's true. I think human beings have lived on the planet for a couple of thousand years, and we sort of have a rhythm. And although technology has changed things, we still have that rhythm. I know for a fact that many people have had enormous difficulty with relationships, with loneliness, with all of those things during this pandemic, and I'm sure you've dealt with many of those in your practice as well. How do you advise people? Because I love the idea of dancing while the music's playing, and that sounds like great advice. But how do you advise people who are going through really tough relationship and or loneliness issues? Because that's impacted severely on most people.
The loneliness and dating has changed a lot. The game and the rules of the game have changed. Mm. A year ago, a year and a half ago, if you wanted to meet someone, the rules of the game were pretty simple. You go out to a club, a bar, or you go to a social gathering. For the most part, you go on Tinder, you go on whatever social media app, and there's rules to the game. Now the game has changed. Now, at least in the last year, people are not going out, people are not socializing, which was a major part of finding someone or relating to someone or connecting to someone.
Right.
But just because the game has changed doesn't mean you can't adjust to the new game.
Right.
I've seen many patients that are absolutely killing it in the dating world. They're absolutely killing it because they're killing it. They're actually, for the guys and the girls that are sitting at home, they're loving it because they're less competition out there. So they're killing it because they're adjusting to the new games. Yes, the old game was chess and this new game is Monopoly, but they're adjusting to the Monopoly rules and they're absolutely winning. So I always tell people, again, adjust to the song that's playing, adjust to the game that's being played. Just because the game has changed doesn't mean you can't adjust and you can't learn the new rules and win. yes, it has changed, but adapt with it.
That's good advice. I'm also concerned for those people who've discovered because of the difficulties of lockdown and being around maybe in the same house with people that you used to get out and go to work and, you know, you had a bit of breathing space. A lot of people have found it very, very difficult to be hemmed in essentially for as long as they have. And maybe they've discovered things about their partner that they don't really like that much, that they didn't think about before because there wasn't such proximity for such an extended period.
That's brilliant. You know, I see, you know, when you lock two rats in a cage for way too long, suddenly things that were never an issue become a big issue. You know, we discussed this before, you know, suddenly you're locked in with your kids who you love very much. And it's a lot of fun for 3 weeks. And then 3 weeks and one day later, you can't wait to think of ways in which to strangle them. And then suddenly you're with your wife or your husband or your partner who you love very much, and it's a lot of fun for 3 weeks, but 3 weeks and one day later, it irritates you how many times they're blinking and how they're yawning and how they're chewing with their mouth closed. Who chews with their mouth closed? And so we find ways and reasons to get irritated by our partners, which is very normal. You lock two best friends together for too long, and suddenly small little stuff starts to irritate you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably a bit more irritable than most people just because I feel like I need a lot of my bubble's big, you know, I need a lot of space between me and others. Although when I am social, I'm social, then it's fine. But when I switch that off, leave me the hell alone. I don't know how some people have managed to cope, and some obviously haven't. We know that the divorce rate's gone up. It hasn't gone down
through the roof.
Yeah. We know that also for many people, they've realized like the value of school and teachers just to get them away from their kids for a little while, because as much as we love our kids, you know, that's put huge strain on parents. They've suddenly had responsibilities they didn't have before. Leanne and Sia obviously have some questions for you too, but what we'd like to do when we have Dr. Hanan on is to get a particular problem from you, an exercise you need to do, something you need to resolve in your own life to do with mental health, because having him here, it's like a great resource for us. And once a week, he's going to be able to give us some very pointed guidance, some useful experience, some ideas of how we can practically climb out of the situations we're in. And we'd love to hear from you. So if you want to email us, email me, gareth@cliffcentral.com. I'll pass it on to Dr. Hanan. It can be completely anonymous, but we can still talk about it on the show without giving away any of your very specific circumstances. And maybe it'll help some other people too, because we are all, as Sia badly paraphrased Prince Harry earlier, we're all in the same storm but not in the same boat. So there might be things that you've experienced that are particular to you and that you want Hanan to deal with for us on the show. I think it would be very helpful. Sia and Leanne, do you have any while we've got a couple of extra minutes with him? Do you want to throw anything in there?
I was just thinking
so many mental health problems to discuss with these two. Go ahead.
I was just thinking the other day, I am aware of mental health issues.
Yeah.
I mean, I have them myself and I've known about them for many decades, but, you know, I'm starting to feel the fatigue of mental health awareness. So every story that you read is teaching you about how mental health exists, and you know, it's all very much still in the awareness stage. And I was thought to myself, I wonder when that will end. But then I realized awareness, cancer awareness, awareness of diabetes, that still continues. It'll never go away. It has never gone into the next stage. You know, you still have asthma awareness week. You know, it doesn't change. So I suppose I need to just accept that people are still trying to make me aware, even though I'm a depressed, grumpy old woman.
Oh, jeez.
So that's so lovely. Sia, what
who knows very much about it?
I want to make, you know, Leanne, the thing is that mental illness, let's call it, has been a part of our existence for 2,500 years. It's never gone anywhere. Just because of the pandemic and because of the change in this crazy chaos that we're going through, it's just become the cool big brother to talk about.
Right.
It's become much more accepted in this And the great philosopher, Prince Harry, is obviously putting a lot of and shedding a lot of light on this as well.
Yes.
But the whilst it's always been with us, now it's like the thing to talk about because people are feeling it much more.
Yeah.
But I wanna highlight something that I'm so passionate about, which is I'm really not a proponent of labeling anybody with anything that they cannot themselves understand. Labeling anybody with anything that doesn't empower them. And the difference between a particular type of cancer, let's call it a medical disorder versus a psychiatric or psychological disorder, is that if you turn to 100 doctors and you say, this patient, he's 21 years old, or she's 21 years old, she suffers from TB. Mm-hmm. All 100 doctors will know what you're talking about and will probably agree on how to treat it. But if you turn to 100 psychologists and you say this person suffers from depression,
yeah,
all 100 will not know what you're talking about, and all 100 would probably disagree on a treatment method. The reason why mental illness is so disempowering, or even the title, is we can keep on talking about things that people don't understand, and talking about something is very good as long as it empowers the person to do something about it. But to say, hey, I've got depression or I've got anxiety, well, what does it mean? Because to take 100 people with depression, it starts in 100 different ways. Is it financial issue? Mm-hmm. Is it a purpose issue? Is it a work issue? Is it a conflict issue? Is it a kids issue? Is it a tired issue? Is it I haven't had too much sleep issue? What does it mean? So whilst I'm a big fan of discussing mental illness, I'm a much bigger fan of describing exactly what it is, because then the person can do something about it. I'm really a big fan of telling you what you've got, but empowering you to actually go and fix the actual problem.
Yeah, I think that's very good. And this practical aspect is really what we want to focus on when we have Hanan on the show. So really, send us your stuff. I promise you we'll keep it completely confidential, pass it right on to him. And then, you know, if there's something we can do to get you thinking, or even get you down a route of getting some treatment, I mean, that's, you know, sometimes actually going and getting the professional advice one-on-one is exactly what people need. But there are also things that we can discuss more generally. Sia, you wanted to ask something?
Well, you know, to the earlier point around the vaccines and the hope around that, I think it's quite interesting that I have case study parents, in my opinion. You know, the two of them who couldn't be more polar opposite with the past year and dealing with things. My mother is so, you know, they're both quarter to 60 / just over 60. My mother is just a bon vivant. She actually called herself that. And I'm like, you've never even been to France, so I don't even know where you got this phrase from. Bon vivant and lively, and she wants to live now. And yeah, this past year has taught her to live and make the most of things. And my dad is so scared of things and still very, you know, paranoid, rightfully so, as some would say, or disagree with him. So it's with both of them, the lesson for me and with my siblings as well has been, you can't control people. And you actually have to let people have their own decisions and let them be, which is a bitter pill to swallow in some cases, because you want to go, come on, we'll do this. And, you know, this might be better for you. But actually in relationships, I don't know, Dr. Hanan, whether you'd agree or disagree, is, you know, you can't control people. So you just have to actually let them be.
So, you know, I want to tell you there are a couple of fundamentals to make any relationship work. Trust, communication, intimacy, attraction, common shared values, and compromise. Those are six fundamentals. You can't have a partner without those six non-negotiables.
Yeah.
But the key word that I want to say is compromise. You cannot make, you give two people that are trying to make a situation work. They're trying to agree on a situation, whether it's how do we raise our kids, to what do we order for lunch, to what car do we buy? Do we stay in this environment? Do we move to a different? The truth is there's so many decisions to be made as a couple the moment you commit to a partnership that if you do not compromise, when I see my couples here in my practice, I ask on the first session, I ask them, are you prepared to compromise? And the moment they go, I am who I am, you know, the whole notion, this is how you've met me, this is how you've accepted me, this is how you will have to accept me, is rubbish. It's the biggest load of shit I've ever heard, because we change all the time. We got to adapt, and we got to adapt to each other. And the notion of compromise is very important. We can talk about it in much greater detail, but you have to somewhere and not necessarily meet in the middle. Sometimes we'll meet 80-20 my side. Sometimes we'll meet 90-10 your side. Sometimes we'll meet 100-0 my side, sometimes 100-0 your side, depending on the issue, depending on what we're talking about. But you have to find a way to make it work for that particular decision.
I think that's really a good point to draw a close on this. I know you've got to get to your practice. It's 7 o'clock. We've also got to get on with it. We've got, among other things, Collector Mania coming on. But thank you, Dr. Hanan. Always good to see you, and a great way to start a Monday morning with some solid advice. Great. Good to see you. Thank you
Glad
so much.
Glad to be here. Thanks. Nice to see you guys.
All righty. There he is, Dr. Hanan Bushkin. So we're going to talk to him every Monday. If you want to be a part of that, you want to it's almost like we feel like we're doing our bit for helping people along through a very tough time. And by talking about these things as honestly as we do, we've always on the show, I think it's fair to say, Leanne, and you can correct me if you disagree, but I think we've always taken mental health very seriously. We have a sense of humor about it, but we take it seriously. We've always treated it as something which we want to get into, we want to talk about, and we want to understand better. And there's nothing better than having a real expert on to do that with us. So if you've got things you want to ask, you can go ahead and do that with us. We'll keep it anonymous if you'd prefer. If you don't mind, then we might even mention your name, but you've got to tell us. And then we can give you some proper advice. It is 7 o'clock, which means Collector Mania is coming up in the next hour. We're going to speak to someone who we know very well on the show, who's also a collector. And we'll get your comments and questions and calls. 0797482090 is the number you can WhatsApp us on as well. So lots to come, including Sia's revelation of the 9 billionaires created by the vaccines and Leanne's revelation of the 10 big companies that no longer exist because of 2020. So all of that and more on the way. CliffCentral.com. Monday morning. Hope you're having an awesome day. CliffCentral.com.